I just was thinking, you know, we've been studying a lot on having the mind of Christ and renewing the heart of our mind and being renewed in our mind, you know, all this stuff. But sin consciousness is a matter of the mind and a matter of the heart, too. And so it's just a false reality. And he said something good, and I think I'll just open up with that. And let me see where on page 31, he said, sin creates a consciousness or perceived reality. It's a mindset that it creates, and it's formed from the self or from the ego. Do you know how to get that bassy, hollowy sound out of that? I don't know. The reality is formed from lies and darkness, and its primary purpose is to protect the false image and the likeness that has been created by that sin, by that mindset, by that false reality that it's created itself. So we spend a lot of our time religiously coming against sin when it's actually a mind. It's a matter of the heart. It's the consciousness. It's the heart of the man that is causing us to walk in that type of, you know, to walk in sin. Sin is just the acts of what's in our heart and what's in our mind, what's in our thought life. So to be sin conscious. Consciousness is our mind, of course. Next, I don't want to go a whole lot in that because he's going to be covering. I think that's a little better. He's going to be covering over consciousness, the difference between consciousness and he had three of them in there, but we'll save all that for later. I want to kind of touch on this false reality or this mindset. I'm going to call it a mindset. Sin consciousness is a mindset. And one thing the Holy Spirit was saying is that we need to stop being sin conscious. We can do that. It's not the acts that we want to condemn and come against and be like, oh, they're in sin, that person's doing this and doing that. That's just a result of the condition of their heart. That's the result of what they're thinking, what they're dwelling upon, what their consciousness, what their reality that they've created around themselves. Like he said, it creates a perceived reality. And convinces us that it's truth, and we live it. And that can have to do with religious systems, you know, man's made-up systems, even the things that, you know, in the world system, things that we live out of how the world runs and everything. Those are perceived realities, false realities. And I'm not going to go into a lot of what the different ones are because it'll take too long to break all that down. But we're kind of going to start out with this false reality or these wrong mindsets, which are sin consciousness. We studied metanoia, which is actually what repentance means. If God is calling us to a place of renewing our mind, he's calling us into Ephesians 2, or 4:23 says, be renewed in the mind of your, in the spirit of your, let's go read that because I can't remember it exactly. I want to say it right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Remember, sin consciousness is what's the spirit of our mind. It's what the condition, it's what the consciousness of our mind, the spirit of our mind is. And that's basically what consciousness is. A mindset is your consciousness. A reality that you live in is your consciousness. So Ephesians 4:23 say, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, sin consciousness, the ways of the world, false realities presenting themselves as truth. Don't be conformed to those, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. One thing the Holy Spirit was saying, that one way to do this is through repentance. And of course, we touched on that before, that we thought repentance is a confession of sin. You know, repentance isn't confession of sin. That's just religious rubbish. And that's just being blunt and honest. But repentance does not mean confession of sin. It means to change your mind. It means get a new mindset. It means Romans 12:2, be renewed in your mind. It means Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your heart. That's what repentance means. So when you think of the, you know, you hear the old saying, you know, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. What was he really saying? Be renewed in your mind. Your mind, your consciousness, the spirit of your heart is what is going to cause you to walk into the goodness of God, to walk into the fullness of God, to have all these different things. In other words, we have to have a new mindset. And then when I was thinking like that, the Holy Spirit was like, the goodness of God leads us into repentance. And when I used to have the old understanding of thinking it was confession of sins, you know, and all that, acts and all those kind of things, I would be like, well, how does the goodness of God cause people to confess their sins, you know, and come and make a confession of sin? That scripture never really made a lot of sense to me. I was like, well, you know. But as I was meditating on it and thinking upon it, it was like the goodness of God. What is the goodness of God? It's the fullness, his provision, it's inheritance. It's walking in sonship. It's walking in the fullness of the fruits of the Spirit in our life, love, joy, peace, all these different things. But that's the goodness. And I was meditating, and what caused me to think about it, I was just thinking, God, you're so good. And I was sitting there, I was just thinking and meditating upon his heart and just thinking upon the things of God and the joy and the peace. And I had such love, and I was refusing to think upon things that were, you know, that would, things of the flesh and all this stuff. And I was like, God, you're so good. And then I heard tagged right behind that, he says, that's what leads people to repentance. What does repentance mean? Change of heart. That's what renews your heart. It's the goodness, all the goodness, all his full provision, all that he has for you, all that the fruits of the Spirit, all the things of the kingdom, all the promises of God. When you're thinking and you're dwelling, and that's full of your thoughts and your dwelling place and your all that consumes you, you know, you're just thinking about you're just like, there's so much, I'm surrounded so much goodness. And then all of a sudden, you know, when the Holy Spirit said, that's what leads you into repentance. And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. That's what renews my heart. Yeah. Thinking and dwelling and meditating and having that good, when we know that God provides for us, when we know that being in his kingdom and living in the fullness of his kingdom, we have no lack, no sickness, no disease. We have full provision. We walk in heirship. If you were truly an heir to a throne, because we're King of Kings, Lords of Lords, we're the heirs to the throne of Christ, you know, if you're truly an heir, if in the natural world, Prince William, he's an heir, he doesn't think about, will I have this and that, and will I have all these things that, you know, it's just handed to him on a silver platter. You know, everything that is his through heirship, he doesn't think about, I wonder if that's going to be mine. I wonder if I can have that tomorrow. I wonder if I'm going to walk in the fulfillment of what my heirship is as a prince. You know, he doesn't think about that. He just knows it's there. Yeah. It's happening. That's the goodness of his heirship. That's the goodness of the kingdom that he lives in. And it's not so much just thinking about it, but he just knows it. It's mine. Yes. It's mine. When we come to that realization, or we come into that, it's actually, I'm an heir. I'm a true son of God. I this is mine. This is what's available to me. And we just know that we know that we know that we know. That's the goodness that we're experiencing. And that goodness, knowing that, is what brings repentance, renews the heart. Because then our heart's not going to be like it was when we didn't know that. So it renews the spirit of our mind. Yes. True repentance is happening. A renewing is happening in our heart. So see how the goodness of God leads you into the repentance? That was like, bam, thank you, God. Let's go look at Galatians chapter 5 real quick. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to look at starting with verse 22. Says, this is part of the goodness of God. This is the fruit of the Spirit is part of the kingdom of heaven. The fruit of the Spirit is his goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is part of our heirship. The fruit of the Spirit is part of our sonship. It's what's ours. We're not orphans. We are we are children of the King, the Most High God, you know, and this is ours. So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, meaning the law, the curse, it has no effect against this. But what the Holy Spirit was pointing out to me is that these are part of the goodness of God. These are the things that will lead us into repentance, which is a renewing of the heart, which is a renewing of the spirit of our hearts. When we think of the fruit of the Spirit, we think it's something that we have to earn, that something we have to do. This religiously, this is how I thought of it, that we have to grow into it or whatever. But it's there. It's part of the kingdom of heaven, which we are learning to walk in and live from, and that God wants established on this earth. He wants the kingdom of heaven established on earth. This is ours. We should be we can walk in this. This is something we don't have to figure out how to do. It's not something we can earn, but these are just the fullness, the health, the peace, the joy, the love, all these things. They are also what the Holy Spirit was calling a mindset. Now I want you to think about this. Joy is not something that you can work up or get into or earn or figure out how to have. Joy is a mindset. It's something that it's just joy is joy. Love is love. You can't make love happen. Love is just love. Peace. When he says that he will give you peace that's beyond all understanding, peace like the world doesn't give, it's not like the world's peace. It's love. This love isn't like the world's love. This joy isn't like the world's joy. We think of that kind of joy as something that we think of happiness when we think of joy. Well, happiness comes and goes, but joy is a mindset. It's something that you can live in, something that you can dwell in. Love, the love of the Father, the love of the kingdom of heaven is a person. Joy is a person too. It is Christ. It is Jesus. It is the Christ. And these are the things of the kingdom of heaven. When we say being in Christ, because I've been teaching and studying about being in Christ, since, I'm going to say 2008 or something, when we started doing the classes at Living Word, I was teaching on being in Christ. And I still didn't have a full understanding of it, but I wanted it, so I was seeking that out, and I was moving towards that. But through what the Holy Spirit has shown me, it was like, this is being in Christ. When we have this mindset, it's not something that we're trying to attain to. It's just joy when it happens. Wow, there's the joy of the Lord. When peace comes, it's like, there's the peace of God, that peace that you can be in the midst of a storm and turmoil and so much going on, and there's peace that you're like, how can I have peace in this? You know, how can I have joy when there's so much sorrow and whatever? You know, it's because it's a mindset. It's a consciousness. To have the mind of Christ is to have his consciousness or his heart. It's to be in him. To be Christ conscious is to be in him. To have joy, love, peace, all the fruits of the Spirit, these things, to have these mindsets is to be in Christ. Because I used to always teach being in Christ, but I still didn't quite understand what is in Christ. You know, it was just like a confession kind of thing for a while, you know, and then it was, oh, it's a relationship, and then it's, oh, you know, but it's like, it's this mindset. It's the renewing of the heart. See, God is just unfolding this to me too, and I'm going deeper. If we never attain to the full mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, we'll be learning even when we go to heaven for eternity, because even the angels that surround the throne are forever crying out, holy, because they're having a new revelation of the King of Kings, and they've been doing it since the foundation of the earth, and it will go on forever. If they're forever seeing a new revelation, you know, we're growing from glory to glory to glory. New revelation, new mysteries being unfolded. And this may be elementary to some people, but to me it was like, I'm beginning to understand what it is to be in Christ. And it's part of it is this renewing of the heart and the renewing of our mind, coming into this mindset. It's what it is to be living in the kingdom, the consciousness of the kingdom of heaven, that very consciousness. Because if you think what is, when we think about living in the kingdom, and we've been talking about establishing the kingdom of heaven here on earth, and we want to live from the kingdom, not live from this earthly realm, you know, what are we talking about? Well, it's having that we can't do it unless we have this renewed heart and renewed mind, and we have the mind of Christ, if we have the kingdom consciousness. Now, if you think about that, the world has a consciousness, and the kingdom of heaven has a consciousness. The two realms, they have a consciousness. The kingdom of heaven is all Christ, fruits of the Spirit, and all things that pertain to heaven, and where there's no lack, there's no sorrow, there's no weeping or crying, there's no, you know, all this full provision. You never want. There's not want in the kingdom of heaven. And on earth, you know, you have the sin consciousness, and most of us who have lived our years up to this point understand what the consciousness of the world system is. So it's this consciousness is having this consciousness of the kingdom of heaven, which is Christ consciousness. It's sonship. It's heirship. So one of the ways that the Holy Spirit was just showing me, how do we get into this place where we're not living in sin consciousness no more, but we're living in a place of renewal of our heart, in this place of repentance where our minds are being renewed into this new mindset, is our thought life has a lot to play in this. It has a lot to do with it. So I want to look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I want to start with verse 10, because this whole chapter, especially starting with verse 10, but it's talking about the kingdom of heaven. So just to let you know that the main concept of this chapter is the kingdom of heaven, and God's talking about having his kingdom established. Verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we go on, and he's talking to him about establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth. We get on to verse 25, and he's saying, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry," or the King James Version says, "take no thought about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Then let's go look at verse 27. It says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature?" Verse 28 says, "So why do you take thought?" Why are you taking thought? Why are you doing this? About clothing, about what you will eat, about your wants, about your needs. Why are you taking thought about this? Verse 26 says, he said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Verse 29 says, "And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these," talking about the lily of the fields and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They just are. What he's saying here is that if you have the consciousness or the mindset of the kingdom of heaven and these things, he says, I'm taking care of them. There's no want for them. When the lilies come forth, they don't wonder, how am I going to bloom and will I be a pretty whatever color and have a long, pretty stem? And it just is. It just happens. And the kingdom of heaven's the same way. It's not for the sweet by and by when we pass away and go to heaven, or when, when we have all this. We have this now. This is the promise and the inheritance that we're to be walking in heaven, the kingdom of heaven, right here and now. We can walk in this now. He says, why do we concern what we will eat? Those that are part, you know, the birds, they don't think about, where's my food coming from? I need to go stand in a line and get food, or I need to go out and toil and work so that I can have feed. It's just there. It's just, they don't think about it. They don't dwell upon it. They don't worry about it. They don't take thought. They just instinctively, they go eat because it's provided. There is a provision for it. Same thing with the lilies of the field and how they're arrayed and all their beauty and everything and all that they have need of. There's no thought to that. It's just full provision is there. And they just come forth in all their beauty and all their glory, and they just come forth. So to have, for us to have, when Jesus was comparing this, he says the kingdom of heaven is the same way. If you have want or if you have need or whatever, then your consciousness, if you're thinking and dwelling upon this, your consciousness is not part of the kingdom of heaven consciousness. Because in the kingdom of heaven, there's no want, no need. We're cut through the repentance, through renewing of the mind, through the good focusing and thinking and dwelling and becoming one with the goodness of God, we will come into that renewal. Because the goodness of God leads to repentance. And we will come into that renewal of heart that we will start thanking. We'll have Christ consciousness. Kingdom will be kingdom conscious. That full provision is there. I have my bill that's due tomorrow. But in the kingdom of heaven, there's no want. So why worry about it? Why take thought? Because provision, just like the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, they don't take thought. In the kingdom of heaven, there's no want. Provision is there. It's actually there. Full provision is actually there. We have to meditate on this and we think about it. Because as we meditate and think upon that goodness, that point is a mindset and a goodness, then repentance comes. Renewal of the heart comes. And then one day we're going to find ourselves over here in the renewal part and we're going to be like, whoa! We won't worry about it no more because we'll be in true heirship. Is like, just like if Prince William knew he had a payment on the castle, whatever, you know, I don't know how that works, but you know, he don't worry about it. It's taken care of, provided, full provision is there. He just goes about his day merry and happy, full of the goodness. Full provision's there. I don't have to worry about it. It's there. We'll get to that point through the renewal of our heart. This is part of our sonship and our heirship. So God is saying, don't take thought. Look at verse 30. It says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So in other words, the reason he's saying, O you of little faith, is because our consciousness hasn't been renewed to the mind of Christ, to the kingdom consciousness. We're still in that sin consciousness where there's lack and there's defeat and there's sickness and there's disease and there's want and there's need. Verse 31 says, therefore, do not take thought. Do not take thought saying, what shall I eat or what shall I drink or what shall I wear? I didn't tell you guys that. Jesus said that. It's in the red letters. He said, do not take thought. What shall I eat? What shall I wear? How will I pay my bill? How will I get my health back? How will my children be set free? How will I make my car payment? Don't take thought. That was pretty, pretty stern statement there. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, or people that live in, mankind that lives in sin consciousness, after all these things, sin consciousness seeks after, if you want to say it like that. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. See, there's no lack, there's full provision in the kingdom of heaven. But verse 36 says, but seek first what? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be. I've always heard the word shall is a very strong word. There's no leaving of guessing or wondering. It's like a command. Shall be provided. Shall be added unto you. And God was saying that word seek, it's to go look forward to follow after. So when he's saying seek first the kingdom of God, he's saying follow after these things. Go for these things. Look forward to this. So it has to do with the eyes of our heart. It has to do with when you're seeking, it's not a, I wonder where it's at. But you know it's there. We know it's a reality. We know it's the kingdom of heaven is real. So let's start going toward that. Does that make sense? Let's start moving towards the kingdom of God. I used to think of that as seeking. So, oh God, I'm seeking your kingdom. I'm, please. Yeah, that isn't what it means. It's not like hide and seek. I don't know where it's at. I don't know how to find it. And I don't know what it is. That's not what it is. It means to move towards it. It's something real. The kingdom of God and all the fullness and all the provision and all that the inheritance that he has given to us because of the work of the cross is ours. It says it shall be. Shall be, just like in the king. His signet ring says it's done. You know, he's given that to us. Shall be provided. So he says, seek it. Move towards it. What you know is truth. What you know is reality. Move towards it. So we're not looking for something that we're trying to find. We know it's real, so we're moving towards it. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. All the goodness of God, that's what we're going after. That's what we're seeking or moving towards or looking towards. So going back to taking no thought, Christ consciousness, the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom, I'm going to say something that might be a little, this is... I'm just going to say it and see, just you just ask God about it. But in the kingdom, there's no need for believing. Okay, that might be like, now wait a minute. But if you're in the kingdom, what do you need? Why do you need to believe? Believing is what we need when we're still in our sin consciousness. But once our mind of our heart is renewed, then we're in a place where we know. We're in the now. We're in a place where we just know. We just know. It's a higher realm. It's a higher dimension. Let's go over to, let me see. I think it might be Mark. Mark chapter 4. Starting with verse 9, he said, and he said to them, Jesus said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now that sounds like a weird statement, because we all have ears. Just because you got holes in the head doesn't mean you hear. Verse 10 says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked about him. Oh, okay, 11. And he said to them, to you and me, to you, it has been given to what? To know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, those who are still walking in sin consciousness, that haven't been fully awakened, haven't come to this place of renewal, of their heart, haven't come into repentance, remembering that repentance means renewing of the heart, a change of your mind, change your heart, then all things are just parables to them. So he's saying, to you it has been given, when we come into this mindset and the consciousness of Christ, to know. So this know is to know like Adam knew Eve, or we like to say how a man knows his wife. You knew that, you know, you know them. Or how even a mother knows a child, or how a child knows a mother. If I seen this really cute video clip of, they blindfolded, they had like five mothers up there, and then they would take one child of each of the mother, and they would blindfold them, and that child would go up and feel the face and touch them and hug them and whatever. Every child knew which one was their mother. The mother didn't talk to them or do anything, but they just felt their face, and the moms would stoop down because some of them were just little, looked like they're 4 or 5 years old. Each child knew its mother instinctively. It knew to know, that kind of knowing. You just know. See, that's what the birds of the field were like. They just know. They know that they're provided for. They don't think about it. They don't worry about, where's my seed coming from tomorrow? Where's my dinner coming from? They just know. They just go eat. You know, they're not even thinking in a comparison of this field's better than that field or whatever. They just fly over and they just eat wherever, whatever. You know, they just eat. They're provided for. There's no want, no need for them. They don't even think about it that there's want or need. They just, they're provided for. They just know. He has given this to us to know. But this comes through that renewed heart. It comes out of that relationship. To know is a higher level, a higher realm. It's that Christ consciousness. It's that union. It's that oneness. To know, because when we come into Christ consciousness, when we come into where we're walking in the kingdom of heaven, and to this place of knowing, it's that union. It's that oneness. It's that in Christ. We're one in him. It's that union and oneness. It has been given to us to know, not to believe once we get there, but to know. Because if you get into the kingdom of heaven, what do you have to believe for? Because it's all provided. There's no want, there's no lack, there's no sickness, there's no disease. So what do we have to believe for? You just know it's provided for. So take no thought of lack or sickness or disease. We're coming into that place of knowing, of being one in that union, that oneness of that Christ consciousness. So in the kingdom, there's no need for believing, just knowing. Just knowing. Knowing is greater than believing. That sounds weird, but what's there to believe for? We already covered that. So there's no need for it. It's all been supplied. It's that heirship. It's that sonship, that full provision. No reason to worry or to take thought of what we'll eat, what we'll wear, how we'll pay our bills, etc. There's no need for it. There's no lack. It's in that consciousness. It's like the birds. They don't think how, I already said that, how we're going to eat tomorrow, whatever, you know. It's that pure innocence. Remember we talked about having an innocence of heart. When we come back to that place of innocence, when we get into this place of being Christ consciousness, when we get into place of this mindset, there's that innocence that is restored back to us that Adam and Eve lost when at the fall, they lost that innocence of their mind, of their thought, of their soulish man. They lost that innocence because they also knew the difference between good and evil. That's what separates these two realms. When they partook of the tree, all of a sudden they knew the difference between what's good and what's evil, what's bad. That is the thought. That is when we think all these bad things and we're dwelling upon this stuff and this sin consciousness, when we're thinking, oh, how am I going to do this or how am I going to do that? Or we have thoughts about people, well, this one, you know, I prefer this person over this person. That person's right, that person's wrong. When somebody's sharing something, you're sitting there and you're thinking in your mind, well, they're liars. You know, all the stuff that's going on, that's that knowledge of good and evil. We're comparing all the time. We're tossing about what's good, what's right, what's wrong, what, you know, that's the knowledge of good and evil. That's what happened. That opened our consciousness up to a whole nother realm of we were starting to judge and we're starting to compare and we're, you know, this is part of what the knowledge of good and evil was. They lost the innocence of just knowing, of peace, of joy. Now think about this. You have, we used to refer to it, you have the battles in the mind is what Joyce Meyer says, you know. There's a battle going on. It's that battle of knowledge of good and evil. But when we come into Christ consciousness, all of a sudden we come into that mindset of joy and peace, then we don't have that battle and that fight and that warring going on in our head. If you feel like you are constantly, and you're like, oh my God, there's no peace in my mind and my thoughts, and I can't even go to sleep at night because it's just blah, 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 all that going on, then it's because it's that sin consciousness, it's that good and evil thing going on. But when we come over and we're being renewed, the goodness of the Lord will lead you into repentance, which will lead you into that renewed heart, that renewed mind. Then all of a sudden, joy. You're not thinking about all that. Peace. You can be working in the midst of people that argue and bicker and complain and carry on and worry, and they're consumed with worry and doubt and all this, and just joy. Because your mindset, because you are living from a different mindset. This comes from the renewed mind. Because there, when you get back into that place, your innocence of heart is restored. And you're no longer comparing. You're no longer fearful and worrying about because in the kingdom of heaven, all your needs are met. There's no want or lack. This is how we'll walk in kingdom health, because we'll come into a knowing that full health is ours. Even though we may not be at that point yet, remember that we're being renewed and we're walking in, and the goodness of the Lord is going to lead us into that. So what's happening is that innocence is being restored. That joy is just a mindset, it's a place, that love, that peace, all those things is that innocence of heart, as if the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we stepped out of that. You know, the blood of Jesus redeemed us from that. And we get back to that original state of heart that he purposed for us to live in. And in that place of innocence and renewal of heart, it's just instinctively One way you can call it is intuitive or perception, which is also a discerning or instinctively living that way. That's how the birds live, you know. I don't know who I was sharing this with. I don't know if it's you or not. But let's say you have a dog, and they're just happy-go-lucky dog. They love just because they instinctively love. You can be mean to them and holler at them, and they're just like tails, and they love you. They just love you because they love you. Now, it would take a lot of abuse for a dog to not, you know, but I'm just saying some even abused dogs will still respond with just love. You can not pay attention to the dog. You can throw a bone out to it. You can throw, you know, a can of food out to it, and you don't ever play. But that dog just greets you with such love and such, you know, they're just full of love, and they're full of trust, and they're just, instinctively, they're like that. And they just believe, you know, they know that you're going to take care of them. You're going to give them water. You're going to give them food. If you have cats, you know, they just know you're there for them. You're going to take care of them, whatever. That's an instinct. That's intuitively, they know that they're taken care of. That's an innocence. They're innocent. You know, we need to be more like that. Just that, that's how we, if we want to compare that to living in the kingdom of God, it needs to be like that. We just intuitively, you know, think of how your animals just, they just love because it's an instinct. They don't have to try to work up that love. They when you come home, they don't like, there's my master and I'm mad at her today. They don't think, well, my husband's bad, or they're the man of the, you know, whoever, that guy. They don't, they're just intuitive, they just love, and they just run between both of you. And what, you know what I'm trying to say. They may have a preference, but it's just an instinct. They just know. What I'm trying to say is they're not thinking. They just, they do this out of instinct. They just know. It's a knowing. In eternity, in the kingdom of heaven is eternity. I don't know if you guys remembered when we'd done two or three teachings on eternity and it being, you know, the eternal. In eternity, which is the kingdom of heaven, nothing is potential or just that possibility or whatever. Everything is actual. It's an actualized. So what I'm trying to say here is when we're getting back to that knowing part, in the kingdom of heaven, if there's no want, no lack, no sickness, no disease, the reason is because it's all actual. There's not a possibility of that. When you're living in the kingdom of heaven, it's like, I might possibly have my need met. I might possibly, you know. No, it's all actual. It's there. It's provided for. It's that full provision. There might be full provision. No, it's actual. It's actualized. You have that. We'll develop through the renewing of our heart, through that know, just to know that it's actually there for us. We don't have to wonder what, you know, it's just an actual place. So in eternity, which is the kingdom of heaven, nothing is just a potential. It's actualized. And going back to the fruit of the spirits in Galatians 5, this is the fruit of the kingdom. This is the fruit of Christ consciousness. When you read Galatians 5 from now on, look at that as this is the fruit of the kingdom, or being Christ conscious, having Christ consciousness, of being in Christ, love, joy, peace, etc., all those things. These are mindsets that don't take any thinking. Why? You don't have to think how to be in joy. You don't have to think how to be one with love. You don't have to think how to be in union with the peace of God. It's just, it's an actual. It's not a potential. I might potentially have peace when I'm in the kingdom of God, but it's an actual. It's there. It's available to us. It's part of us. We'll be one with it. We'll be in union with it. There's just that knowing. That knowing. Joy's not something that you think. Love's not something you think. You just know it. It's annoying. Have you ever just, I know that I know that I know that I know. That's kind of what we're talking about here. You just know. Amen. It's a consciousness. It's a mindset. It's kingdom mindset. It's just a place of knowing. There's no thinking, just perceiving. It's an instinct from sonship, heirship, union, oneness, to know like Adam knew Eve. Matthew 6 says, take no thought. And we covered where he's saying, take no thought. Our problem is we're thinking too much. We're thinking too much. If you're in sin consciousness, we're thinking too much. We need to bring all thoughts captive. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now we're talking about knowing. That's what the knowledge of God is. It means to know. To know. The knowledge of God is to know. That's something God told me a long time ago. So whenever I read that, and I always think of the knowledge of God, it just means to know. You're in that place of just knowing. You just know. So casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, the consciousness of Christ. Bring it all into captivity to that. In other words, take no thought. Take no thought. Notice it says casting down all arguments. How many of you have had arguments in your head? Yes. How many of you have an argument with somebody you think you're going to talk to maybe tomorrow or that later that afternoon, and by golly, this is what I'm going to say to them if they say this to me, and blah, 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 blah. And you could spend hours. You could spend your whole morning thinking about, you're arguing with that person, and then when you see them, you're like, oh, and nothing ever happens. You've wasted a morning, an afternoon, day, whatever, arguing in your head. I mean, it's silliness what the enemy just trips us up with. He says, cast down those arguments. Cast them down. Take no, don't receive the, what they are their thoughts. Take no thought. Don't let them rule and reign in you. Take them captive to the mind of Christ. Same thing when you have no peace in your heart and you feel like your head is swimming with activity and talking and carrying on, and you're just so busy. Take those thoughts captive. You may have to start with one at a time, but do it, because when you get that one captive, then take the next one captive. And don't worry about if it takes you a year to do it, do it. I've been doing this for 5 years, and I'm still walking in some of it, so just keep doing it. So thinking's not the problem. When we think, I'm not trying to tell you not to think, but what we're thinking about, what consciousness or what mindset we're thinking out of is the problem. So it's not thinking's the problem, because God says to meditate upon his word and meditate. In other words, how could the goodness of the Lord lead you into repentance if you're not thinking about the goodness of the Lord? But it's what mindset we're thinking out of, or what consciousness. Is it sin consciousness, which is a mindset? I'm not talking about acts. I'm not talking about what sin consciousness causes you to act like. I'm talking about the mindset, the false reality that's presenting itself to you as truth. So that's what the problem is. So thinking is not the problem. It's what mindset you're thinking from. Your thinking is what you are in this world. Your thinking is what or who you are in this world. Now, we've said it several times. As a man thinketh in his heart, so his is he. Proverbs 23:7. What we're living in right now, our reality that we're living in, is a result of our thought life or our mindset or the consciousness that we are living out of. So if we want to change our reality, we need to change, renew our heart. We need to come into repentance and have our heart renewed. Remember, it's not a confession of sin. It's a renewal of the heart. What you think, what you do, your consciousness that you live in, your reality that you live in, that you dwell upon, that you think upon continually, creates, frames your reality that you live in, the world around you. What we're doing is renewing our heart to the mind of Christ, to the kingdom of heaven, to kingdom consciousness, to a kingdom mindset. Therefore, we're going to start renewing the atmosphere that we're living in. We will start seeing change. I am a testament to that. My life is changing. How I'm living, financially, how we're changing. All these things are changing because the renewing of my heart. We're moving into I'm recreating my atmosphere. I don't want to live the way I lived. I'm going to take responsibility and get into that renewal of my heart and change my world around me. Change my reality, the world that you're living in. Thinking works in the realm of your intellect, which we're going back to the knowledge of good and evil. Intellect works in the world of, or the realm of, the knowledge of good and evil. Most of the way we think is out of our own intellect, the world's way, how they taught us in school to think and to figure out things and whatever. That's intellect. If we're thinking out of our intellect, and that's what causes us to worry, what causes us to try to figure out how to fix it, how to make it work. That's not right. Maybe this is right. We come up with formulas trying to figure out how to make things right and all this. That's all intellect. The intellect is part of the realm of the knowledge of good and evil. Knowing is just an instinct. It's a perception. It's intuitive. So knowing is different than the knowledge of good and evil. Such as, let me give the example of driving a car. If you're driving a car and somebody comes and pulls into your lane, swerving around a corner and whatever, do you have time to sit and think up a formula of how I'm going to turn this degrees to do this and do that and do that? Instinct, boom, you just do what you're going to do. Out of instinct, you do that. You didn't think, did you? You don't have time to think in an instant like that. It's instinct. Because most of us, we can say, well, the car drove itself home because I don't know how I got here. You just know, you know, because you've done it so long, you know. Does that make sense? I've done that before, and I've been like, oh, my God, how did I get? I lost 10 minutes of my time, you know. I don't even know how I stayed on this side of the road. You know, instinctively, I apparently just drove however far I'd do that. I just have to thank God that. But anyhow, I was comparing that. It doesn't require any thinking to respond in an instance like that, you know. It doesn't require thinking. So it was an instinct. You reacted out intuitively when you done something like that. One thing the Holy Spirit showed me also, this was really cool as I was meditating on this. He was saying, keep guard of your heart or your mind, because out of that, guard your heart. He was saying, guard your heart, because out of that flow the issues of life. Because I'm thinking about the heart, it's a mind, your consciousness. When we're starting to move into this and we're seeing ourselves starting to walk into this, he says, guard that. You know, don't go back and forth. Don't be double-minded. Don't, you know. And even while we're moving into it, he says, guard it. Guard this Christ consciousness. Guard this renewing of your heart. Because it's out of that. When we're moving into this place, I'm going to say this also. Remember that I said, as we start moving into this and as we start, there will be some teaching on not being having an offended heart, different things. I might offend some of you with some of the things I'm teaching. I apologize now, but out of that is going to bring healing, and truth will bring healing, and the goodness of God will be revealed out of it, and we'll grow out of it. So it's not my intent to offend people, but I would say guard your heart in your conversations with people. Guard your heart to not get into talking about people, murmuring, complaining, gossip, these type of things. Guard your heart when people, you have to be there to help somebody who is fighting and full of defeat in their life. You have to be there to help them, but you need to guard your heart and don't get drug into it. Don't become one with what they're walking through. You got to guard your heart, because if you don't, they're going to pull you into that. They won't mean to, but if you have to listen to it on a daily basis, continually, pretty soon you're going to find yourself thinking like they're thinking. You're going to find your heart is going to start falling back into that way of thinking. So as we're moving into this, guard your heart. What you do is you let them share the need they have and minister hope to them. And then you have to cut it off. Now, people that are used to a lifestyle of just carrying on with their woes and their concerns and their, we call them pity parties or whatever. Don't join the pity party. Let them share what they need to share and minister life to them. And then sometimes you may have to cut them off, because you need to guard your heart. This is important, because out of that flow the issues of life. We're talking about kingdom life. You don't want to give that up. You don't want to lose the fullness, the no wanting, the no lack, the full provision, the inheritance, that heirship. As we're obtaining this and walking into this renewing, we don't want to lose that by going to somebody's pity party. See what I'm saying? You're not doing them any good, and you're not doing yourself any good. But let's help them out of that and help them come into what you're walking into that. The Holy Spirit will put words in your mouth. God says, just open your mouth and I'll fill it. And as they're sharing, be praying in the Spirit. Be sensitive. You need to listen to them. Be sensitive and say, God, how do I minister life to them? And then just start ministering life to them. If they don't want it, they'll leave. Kind of like saving and drowning. They'll drown you too. You got that. I've heard it said that if somebody's drowning, they're fighting you so hard to punch them in the face and knock them out. And I was like, what? They said, if you don't, you're going to drown with them. So I was like, oh. But anyway, I was like, wow. That's important because your life's at stake, you know. Our spiritual walk with God is at stake here. You know, it's not worth it. And they wouldn't want that. They want what you have or where you're going. We want them to go with us. So let's take them with us, and they'll understand. If they're wounded or hurt for a while, as we continue to minister to them and pray for them and sow into their life, they're going to be like, wow, thank you, instead of being upset with us. So it'll be okay. That's what we're here for, to help bring them along. So keep and guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life, the very kingdom life of God. When you're not thinking about things, it doesn't affect you. Such as peace, love, joy, etc. All these things can reign when you're not thinking about these things. And in other words, I think I didn't put in there where I was going with that, but the Holy Spirit's reminding me. So in other words, you know, I had to read it and start out somewhere. That's why I say in my notes, we're just all over the place. So in other words, going back to taking no thought, that's what we're doing. If we're not thinking about something, it's not going to have an effect on it. So if we're not thinking about worries and concerns and lack and sickness and disease and all these things, then they're not going to have an effect on us. But if we accept those thoughts and we take those thoughts, then they all of a sudden become, going back to as a man thinketh in his heart, framing up your world around you as you're thinking. So if we're not thinking on these things, they're not going to have an effect on us. So when you resist these and you take these thoughts captive and you say no to them and you're not going to think and dwell upon them, then all of a sudden you're going to start finding yourself not having that in your life so much. The more we do it, the better. Our life is going to, the more the goodness of God is going to start showing up. The more that goodness is leading us into repentance and to renewal of our heart. See what I'm saying? So not thinking about those things means that they're not going to have an effect on you. If you find yourself being affected a whole lot about stuff, bad things are happening to you all the time, you better go look at what you're thinking about. That's what I mentioned to you earlier about somebody. It's like, all they think about is, you know, all the bad things. This is going to happen. That's going to, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if, you know, they always think something bad's going to happen. Well, they've had about 3 weeks, 4 weeks of bad things happening. And I'm like, quit thinking bad things. Quit thinking this stuff into existence. Quit framing your world up around you. Like that. What do you want to... stop watching some of those shows. My goodness. So in other words, we need to think about peace. If we think and we dwell and we meditate upon and we stay in that place, we're thinking about that. What are you forming around you? What are you framing around you? Peace. If you're thinking about the love of the Father, then you're going to start seeing yourself walking in love and being in love and just love emanating out of you. Joy. If you think about sorrow and depression, and woe is me, and this person done that to me, and that person done that to me, and this person was mean to me, and this person talked about me, and then what? You're not going to have any joy. But if you think about joy, and the, you know, just being, God, I'm just, your joy is part of my life. It's part of the provision that you have made for me. I just step into your joy. I may not fully understand it right now, but I am one with joy. And joy, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Therefore, I have strength for my day. I have, you know, I can do the, if you start thinking like that, then you're framing and forming that reality around you, that mindset. And you're going to start living out of that reality. So we're talking about, if we don't think about these things, then they're not going to have an effect on us. When the word says, die to it, when the word is saying, die to the flesh and die to these things, what it's saying is, it's saying, don't think about it. It's saying, take no thought. So every time we were reading, you need to die to your flesh, you need, you know, all these things, what is he saying? He's saying, take no thought. Don't think about these things. Don't think about them. When you die to your flesh, that means don't think about it. Eternal mindsets. This is what we're learning to live from. An eternal mindset, which is love, joy, peace, all these fruits of the Spirit and the way the kingdom of heaven is. All these things attract the eternal. I don't want to get into the whole frequency and the whole, you know, how things attract, whatever. But how you, what your heart is full of is what it's going to attract. I mean, there is a realm out there that the reality, the thing, the unseen that we can't see, we're attracting one thing or the other. So the eternal mindset attracts the eternal, the things of the kingdom of heaven. So if we're wanting no lack, we need the eternal mindset that we don't live in lack because we have full provision. What is going to be attracted to that? That very full provision, that very thing of no want and no lack will be attracted to us. If we need health and whole, and we need to have the eternal mindset of kingdom health. I live in wholeness. His flesh, his blood, the redemption of the cross paid the price that I wouldn't have to live under the curse of sickness and disease, that the full provision of health. As we get this mindset, what are we attracting? Yeah. Health. Yeah. Wholeness. Yeah. See, it will happen. That you don't have to try. See, that's the know. That's the knowing. That knowing is higher realm than believing. We don't have to believe for it. When we get into that eternal mindset, it just is attracted to us. Heaven is attracted to Jesus in you. If we have the mind of Christ, all of heaven and all the full provision of the kingdom of heaven is attracted to Jesus in you. Are you in Christ? That mind of Christ, we're coming into that. If we have the mind of Christ, then heaven, all of heaven and all its fullness and all its provision, all that heirship is attracted to Jesus, the mind of Christ in you. Bam! Can't get any better than that. Here's what we're going to do. What was you saying? I said we're going to get into that in just a minute. Do you remember?
If thinking negative, if not thinking negative thoughts won't attack us because we're not thinking them, then if we're not thinking God's thoughts, they're not going to do anything for our lives either. Because, I mean, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. Is that you said something in there that I was like, we're going there, but I lost it in all my trying to... Yeah, I was a squirrel.
We don't have any
thoughts whatsoever. Oh, yeah, that's it. It was like, we can't just walk around with, you know, no thoughts going on, just totally blank all the time. We're going to have something going on in us. But we can have times of silence, or I would call it peace. Who would like to have a quiet heart? He says, be still and know that I am God. We can be in a place of stillness in our heart where our heart is quiet and our mind is quiet. And when we get in that point, we will know that he is God. We will know the kingdom of heaven. We will know the fullness and the provision and our heirship and our sonship. He says, be still and know the kingdom of God. So there is a place that we can come to where there's that quietness that we can get into. And we're going to do a little exercise here. We want all that God has for us. So looking again at Matthew 6, we don't have to go back there, but seeking is following after, moving towards, looking towards. We're going to do an exercise that has something to do with this. I'd done this. Remember when I said that I went to Florida, what, 5-6 years ago, something like that, and I came back a changed person? This is the first concept that God started teaching me. And it's funny, it happened again. Christy was like, what did you learn? Well, this is kind of what was birthed in my heart while I was there. I didn't have a lot of quiet time, but I had a few moments, you know, of just being by myself. But just that, I think it's because you don't have a whole lot going on and you can just, you know, not, you don't have to take care of your own house. You don't have to do anything. You just, you know, you have that time that you can just spend with God. But anyhow, he brought more clarity. I think he took me deeper into what he'd done the first time. Because I remember when I left, I was just so full of anxiousness and worry, and I was ready to throw in the towel. I was so busy doing God's work that I wasn't. What's that saying? You know, so busy working for God. No, I was working so hard for God that I wasn't in a relationship, though. You know, there's a little saying that said for that. I can't remember what it is. But all I was doing was work, and I didn't have that relationship and that oneness and that, you know. And I was ready to throw in the towel. I was through with it. It was just something I was doing. It wasn't bringing me edification. It wasn't bringing me exhortation. And I was doing things that other people would like to do, you know, they praise, worship, that, you know, things like that. And people thought, oh, you know, I'd like to be doing that. But I was like, I don't want this anymore. I'm just through with it. And it was just a lot of confusion surrounding it and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, when I left, I was like, God, you got to do something in my heart. I just need you. And he'd done something great. I came back, I would say, with a mindset of peace. I came back with so much peace. And people saw it. They were like, in the midst of the turmoil and the confusion, and some of them that were there could probably be saying, yeah, I know what you're talking about. It was just, what would go on up on the stage was just horrible. And I used to get all caught up in it and would be up. And then we'd have to try to do worship in the midst of all that. But I could sit there and I had such a peace on me. And people said they could see the difference on me. The same stuff was going on that was going on before, but I had a peace in the middle of the storm and the turmoil and the unpeacefulness and the confusion, utter confusion. There was just such peace. And God done something to me in that. And this is part of it. It was learning how to shut down the thoughts and the concerns and the thinking and the dwelling upon it. Because I could remember that's when I experienced the most of having the arguments in my own heart, you know, and I was going to go tell this person, you know, that whole thing. I would spend my whole days thinking like that and then get with that person and be like, oh, yeah, it's all, you know, I love you. I mean, you know, what is the intent of our heart kind of thing? God changed all that. But it had to start with taking no thought. And I used to, I don't know, Sonia, if I ever talked to you about it, because you would come and get your hair done there where I worked. But I know there was a couple other ladies that dealt with some of this stuff. And I would say, one thing God showed me to start with was I love doing yard work. And when you're all done, I'd go out and spray down my driveway to get all the grass off, you know, spray it down to the edge and whatever. And so the Holy Spirit was showing me one time, I was like, God, how do I start this? Where do I start to, I mean, my mind is just so overwhelmed and it's so busy and it's so much chatter and blah, you know. Oh, he says, well, he showed me a picture in my heart of, here's all this stuff all over the driveway and just take your water hose. So every time my mind would get like that and I'd want to shut it down, he says, now just see yourself spraying all that stuff. And so when my mind would get so busy and I couldn't shut it down, it's like I get out the water hose and shh, and then I have a moment of silence and stillness in my heart. And then it would be like, it'd start creeping back in, spray. So I could not hardly go to sleep at night because my mind was so busy and so much going on, and I was arguing in my own heart, and I was in turmoil with these circumstances, foolishness now that I look at them, but look back on them, you know. But I didn't know how to get rid of them. And so that's one way I done it. I was like, sprayed them out of my life, you know. And each time I done it, they stayed away longer. And then I got to a point where I don't have to use the, but I needed a visual. And the Holy Spirit gave me that visual. And that's how I done it. Now, somebody else may have something. I was talking to one lady and she's like, oh, well, I'll just take a big old 5-gallon bucket of water. Well, that works for you, do it. You know, swoosh that stuff away. But the reason I could do that is because I could see it swept away, I guess. So it helped me to get rid of it that way. But now, that was, if you think about that, and the reason I said that, this is like an exercise that I'd done. I had to do it every night or I couldn't go to sleep at night. When I got up in the morning and I would get, my first thing was, because I had to work, you know, get in the shower, start getting around, there was my mind full of all that filth and all that thought life. And I couldn't even hardly stand to take my shower because it was just like, blah, 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 you know. And I would have to do it as, you know, it was just, I was in torment in my mind. But Holy Spirit set me free from it. So this is something you can do. This is a better way, I think, because now that took me a long time to get free from that, using the water hose effect, but it helped me walk out of it. But the Holy Spirit, this is just an exercise. In other words, what I was doing is I was doing an exercise, the whole water hose bit. It helped me visualize washing away all that torment. So what we're going to do, if you guys want to do this with me, we're just doing an exercise. We're going to follow after, look forward to the goodness of God. So right now, just close your eyes. If you have a peace about it, just close your eyes. Now, I don't want you to think about anything. Now, right there, some of you can't do that, but go ahead and try. Don't think about anything. Just try to relax. We're just going to give you a moment as you just keep your eyes closed and just... Now, you're going to have thoughts are going to come. They're going to present themselves to you. Thoughts are going to come. They're going to present yourself. Then they're going to go away. Another thought's going to come, it's going to present itself, then it's going to go away. What you're going to do is don't follow after that thought. So every time a thought comes and presents itself, don't follow after it. Okay? That's taking no thought. So now with your eyes closed, if you have a thought, whatever it may be, don't follow it. What's going to happen is it'll go away. We're just going to take a few moments and do this because this will help you as you start wanting to walk out of learning how to take no thought. Okay? Thoughts are going to come. It's going to present itself. Don't follow it. Just be conscious of just your breathing, if that helps you. Breathing in and you're breathing out. You're just conscious of just your breathing right now. Thoughts presenting itself. Don't follow after it. Don't take that thought. It's going to go away. If you've had a thought come up and you said in your heart, take no thought, did you feel the thought go away? Did you see that, did the thought go away when you refused to take that thought, when you didn't follow after it? Thought's going to come, just let it go. Don't take the thought, just let it go. Okay. Did anybody have that? Were thoughts coming and going? No thoughts coming and going? Hey, that's okay if you had no thought coming. Well, good. When I first started, this was probably 3 or 4 days ago when the Holy Spirit started. He's like, I want to show you a new way to deal with this because I am maturing in Him, and I'm growing in Him, and I'm coming into that place of having Christ consciousness, but there's still thoughts. There's still things that He's wanting out of my life. So I was doing this, and I was like, okay. And then a thought would come, and it might be about one of my kids. It might be a worrisome thought might come. And I was like, I won't take that thought. I refuse that thought. Take no thought is the first. That's what always come up in my heart. Take no thought. And I was doing this when I was laying in bed because that's a good time. And when I first wake up in the morning, because it used to be when I go to bed at night was worse, and when I wake up in the morning was my worst times because throughout the day I'd be busy. If I keep myself busy, then, you know, you're still thinking, but it's not as bad as when you're alone with your own thoughts, you know. And as I would resist that thought, it'd be like, boom, it'd just go away. But if I took the thought and I started thinking about it, then it just starts turning into all sorts of other stuff. And then you start feeling anxiousness, or you start feeling worry, or you start feeling fear or whatever. So just resist that. And that's what it means by don't take no thought. You know, take no thought. When you don't take that thought and run with it, when you don't follow after it, it just goes away. Now, this is going to be real. It's not real spiritual, but I'm wanting to lose some weight. So I'm thinking, I'm not going to eat after 7 o'clock anymore. You know, I'm going to have dinner ready by 6, get it done, you know, eat it, whatever, give myself a little leeway in case I'm running late on things. But I don't want to eat after 7 because it's that late night eating that packing on the pounds. So I ate dinner, guess what always hits about 9 o'clock? Munchies hit. You know, you might sit down with your hubby and watch a show or what, do something, you know. All of a sudden, here comes the munchies, especially for ice cream or something like that. It runs in the family, huh? But anyhow, when that thought came, I said, God, I'm going to use this. Because when that thought came, I said, I'm not going to follow that thought of go get something to eat. And I had that thought come several times. Go get a snack. Go get a bowl of ice cream. Go make I love peanut butter toast with banana sliced on, you know. Go make a, you know. Or, you know, all these different things. I was like, I'm not going to take that thought. I'm not going to follow that thought. And as soon as the thought would come, but see, it used to be when that thought would come, then I'd be like, ooh, I'm really hungry. Oh, I just see. But see, when I decided not to follow after that thought, then the thought left, and I wasn't hungry. And it was, boom, I've never had it that easy before. Usually I have to fight because what's happening is I'm following after that thought and I keep thinking about it. I want something sweet. I want some ice cream. When I was wanting to lose weight before, you know, it was hard. Why was it so hard? Because I was thinking about it. So when I decided not to take that thought and follow after it, I didn't even feel hungry. I didn't feel the munchies. The thought came, you're hungry. You got the munchies. I even thought that. You got the munchies. Go get something. I was like, I resist that thought. I'm not going to take that thought. And it went away, and I wasn't hungry, and I didn't have the munchies. Isn't that weird? It's that thought that made me want to eat. So I resisted it. Same thing, I'm trying to do this with, I'm going to start doing this with my health. Every time I feel a symptom, I'm going to say, I refuse that thought. Take no thought. I'm not going to take a thought of this, because a kingdom mindset would be, there's no sickness in the kingdom of heaven. So that's the goodness of God. So I'm going to think on that thought. I'm going to take that thought, but I won't take the thought that I've got this pain or I've got this whatever. I'm going to start doing this, and guess what's going to happen? That goodness of God is going to lead me into repentance. It's going to lead me into a change of heart, a renewed heart, that I'm going to be living in a mindset of health. We can have the same thing as we're believing for signs and wonders and miracles. I'm going to resist the thought of, when I lay hands on somebody, I wonder if they're going to get healed. You know? I'm not going to think about that. I used to, it's like, I'm just going to pray for him. It's God. He's the one. He's the healer. He's the restorer. You know, I'm just giving you examples of things that the Holy Spirit has told me to use this exercise and to start doing this. Whatever you're believing for in your life, you know, if you're believing for a home, if you need finances, if you're needing a home, you know, you're believing for a car, we need to resist the thought of your needs not met. How am I going to pay my bill? You'll have the thought, which is usually birthed out of fear, of, oh my gosh, my bill's due. How am I going to do it? Even if it comes to the point that maybe, what if it gets shut off? We don't take the thought of, guess what? God will always supply. His full supply is part of his full provision. If your utility gets shut off, still don't be in fear. Still don't take a thought of the worry, the anxiety, because somehow God's going to supply and it'll be turned back on. Do you see what I'm saying? We just have to keep our thoughts on the goodness, the full provision, his supply, his whatever. Of course, we're believing for it not, you know, you would not want it to be shut off. But you may get to a point where you work up to a point where, you know, God's going to supply. Whether it be man giving into you, some type of provision coming, something you don't even expect. I've heard people say that they've got inheritance that they didn't even know that they had coming, just different things. God could bring increase in your job. You know, we can't put God in a box. The way to start, though, is just not to receive the thoughts of the fear and the worry and the anxiety of a need being met, of needing a new car. You know, you're driving on your car and it's on its last leg and, you know, you need a car. Remember we said that as you, the things that you think about, so if you're spending your time thinking, I've got a piece of junk and I'm never going to have any better and, you know, whatever, you know, I could use a new car. But I speak over my car and I say, I call you blessed and you will continue to run and you are a faithful car. I talk to it like that. I speak blessings over my car and I don't curse it because I don't want a car that's going to break down. I'm not going to say, you piece of junk, you don't run worth a hoot. You know, pretty soon it's going to break down because it's not running worth a hoot. You know what I'm saying? I call it blessed. I said, you will continue to run. You will, no matter how many miles, you will run like there's nothing wrong with you. You know, I call the engine mechanically sound and the, you know, I just speak over my car like that. So this is a practice that isn't some new agey thing. It's something that's going to help us learn how to not take those thoughts. It's a mindset. Remember, it's this kingdom mindset that we're moving into. The realm you're in with no thoughts. Remember, because we were talking about, can we really have no thoughts? Can we have that stillness in us? God wouldn't say be still, know that he is God, if we couldn't be still, if we couldn't have that stillness of heart. So that very realm or that mindset, that consciousness that you're in with no thoughts is eternity. Think about this. When you're thinking and you're practicing this and you're practicing being still before God, when you're doing this and just having that stillness of heart, what you're doing is you're entering that realm of eternity. What you're doing is you're becoming one. You're fellowshipping with eternity. Does that make sense? You're fellowshipping with the kingdom mindset, with the consciousness of the kingdom, with the mind of Christ. When you're shutting all those thoughts down and you're only allowing that peace and rest and love, that's the eternal realm. You know that it's eternity. It's just that place of knowing where you are known, and you know. I used to pray and I said, God, I want to know like I'm known, because the realm of eternity, the realm of the kingdom of heaven, is more real than this realm. The invisible realm is more real. I want to know the way I'm known. Because it's that realm that holds us together. It's that realm that has created this realm that we live in. Nothing is hidden to the heart of God, to the eyes of God, and it's not that he looks at shameful things, because he doesn't have a mindset or a consciousness for that. He doesn't look upon that. When it says he doesn't look upon sin, that isn't how he perceives and thinks. He sees only through Christ, through the work of the cross. But he knows us. I want to know the way I'm known. So when we're doing this, we're entering that place of eternity where that's the place of knowing. That's the place of the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ. This is what's called being in Christ. So when you're doing this and you're learning how to be still and know God, you're learning how to be in Christ. So it doesn't hurt to make your mind be still and be quiet. Yeah, you can't always walk around like that all the time, but you can actually learn how to walk around with that quite a lot, because I've been practicing it for several years, and it's sometimes why I have people call me a peacemaker, I've had people say, when you come in, it's just peace comes in with you, I've had some people say that, there can just be argument and contention, whatever. And when I come in, it's peaceful. It's because that I've been practicing this whole, I can have people just like, rip, want to rip you apart. And I can just be like, water off a duck's back. That's Carol Rakestraw's favorite saying. It's just water off, It's like, okay, I love you. And I go on. It doesn't affect me. I have people say, well, I hope you didn't get upset. It's like, no. And they don't understand when I say, no, I didn't get upset. But they don't understand the realm of consciousness that I've been practicing walking in, that stillness, that eternal realm, that Christ consciousness. And I'm wanting to go deeper, and I want more of it. And I want you guys to come with me. Amen. Because we're walking into sonship and heirship. I'm wrapping it up because I know you guys need to go. This is being in Christ, having the mind of Christ. It's in. I went through my Bible and I circled and highlighted every word that said in Christ, in him, in. And so it's that in place. It's that knowing. It's that consciousness. It's that goodness of God, the fruit of the kingdom. The goodness of God will lead you into metanoia, repentance, that renewed heart, mind, and consciousness. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Father God, that you are leading us into repentance by your goodness. And I thank you, Father, that this word takes root in our hearts, Father God, and we start walking in sonship and heirship, Father God. And I thank you that each one of us begins seeing the fruits of the kingdom of heaven in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, I seal this word up by the blood of the Lamb, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.